Well, it's day two of the election campaign, day three according to some people, but we're going with day two here on RN Drive. Party alliances and offshore processing are two issues that have dominated day two of the election campaign. The government says the opposition is dangerously divided on border protection, but there are difficult questions for the government too. Peter Dutton is the Minister for Immigration and Border Protection. Welcome back to RN Drive.
Thanks, Patricia.
First, on the future of Manus Island, have you made any progress since Australian officials were in Papua New Guinea last week?
Well, the officials, as you say, were up there last week, and the talks will continue for some time. I think they'll probably go on for the next couple of months, and they can deal with some of the legal issues. But obviously the Supreme Court, as people now understand, hadn't ruled that Manus needed to close, but they were worried about a particular cohort of people within the population, within the regional processing centre, and that's what PNG authorities are working to address. But again, the government's position has been clear from day one, and that is that we're not taking people into Australia from Manus. We'll help them find third country origins or settle in PNG otherwise.
So can you clarify to me how you might resolve it? You say it's a cohort of people. What would you do? What are some of the options on the table?
Well, for example, those people that have been found to be refugees under the MOU signed between Mr Rudd and the PM in PNG, the arrangement was for those refugees to be settled in PNG, and that's the basis of the MOU that Labor signed. And as I say, we'll work with the PNG government, because there are hundreds of people that have gone back to their countries of origin where they've not been able to make out a claim for protection, and that's part of the discussion. And obviously PNG's been operating the RPC since Mr Rudd entered into that agreement, and we want some arrangement to continue, but it's early days in those discussions.
So will your negotiations with PNG and the fate of these 850 men on Manus continue to be up in the air during the whole election campaign? Will we have a resolution by July 2 so we know what ultimately the policy or the resolution is around this?
Well, that will depend, obviously, Patricia, on some of the questions that are being asked, and for us to have a look at some of the proposals being put by PNG. But as I say, I think the discussions will be protracted, and I think the important point is that the Supreme Court hasn't ruled that the centre should close, and the PNG government rightly wants to comply with the orders of the court, and will work with the PNG government to accommodate that. Starting point in the discussions for us is that people aren't going to be settled in Australia, and we've been upfront and very clear about that.
You say the PNG Supreme Court decision didn't mandate closing the centre, but the PNG Prime Minister has done that, so you still need to act. The legal argument about the court's jurisdiction isn't the most relevant issue in front of you, is it?
Well, we've obviously got a good working relationship with PNG, and as Labor worked out, at least when they believed in the policy of stopping the boats, regional processing does work, and we want to get people off Manus and off Nauru as quickly as possible. But at the same time, the balance that we have to strike is that we don't allow people smugglers to get a message out that if you stay in PNG or stay in Nauru for a couple of years, ultimately you'll settle in Australia, and that's the price you pay. People have paid thousands of dollars to people smugglers to make the journey, and ultimately, of course, they want to settle in Australia, and that's why they've paid people smugglers and why they've taken what is a very risky journey. Of course, 1,200 people drowned at sea, never made it to land at all, and the policy that we've got at the moment does starve the people smuggler of the message that people will settle permanently in Australia. So we need to get that balance right, and we need to make sure we send a clear message that we're not going to allow people smugglers to get back into business. And the difficulties we've seen over the last couple of days is that Bill Shorten now has a massive breakout.
I will ask you about that, but I just want to, sure, before we get to Labor, and I will ask you about that, but would you consider moving these men on PNG to Nauru still?
No, we're not considering that. At this point in time, we think it's important for PNG to resolve the issues, and obviously there was an MOU entered into by Mr Rudd with the PNG government, and our expectation is that MOU will be honoured.
So you're saying you can guarantee that the men won't be moved to Nauru?
Well, I'm saying that they won't come to Australia. We'll work with the PNG government to help settle people.
But will they go to Nauru?
Well, that's not something that we consider an appropriate outcome. And we think particularly given the provisions of the MOU that that Labor entered into, that if that is adhered to, then there will be options for people to settle in PNG or to go back to their country of origin. There are some people who haven't advanced their claims for protection because they don't want them heard there. They want to come to Australia. And again, we've been very clear. I don't want to provide false hope to people to make them think that there's some chance of them coming to Australia. They are not coming to our country. We'll settle refugees in record numbers, but not from those who come on boat. And we'll continue that policy because it's worked. It's stopped deaths at sea. It's got all of the kids out of detention. And we're not going to go back to those dysfunctional days.
On RN Drive, my guest is the Immigration Minister, Peter Dutton. Our number here, 0418 226 576, if you want to text in your views on day two of this political campaign. Can I turn to the case of the asylum seeker known as S99, who was raped while having a seizure in Nauru? You sent her to PNG for an abortion, despite it being illegal there. Is she still in PNG?
Well, just to deal with a couple of issues there, firstly, Tricia, first point is that there was an allegation of rape, and we take that very seriously. I've been very definite from day one that I won't tolerate any instances of sexual abuse, whether it's within our detention network here or whether it's in one of the regional processing centres, and we'll work with our partners in Nauru to make sure that whatever assistance is provided needs to be provided is provided, and that's the view of the Nauruan government as well. So there's an allegation. Now, you'll remember a previous case where somebody made an allegation of rape. There were no particulars provided in relation to the allegation. Ultimately, the person did come to Australia. They were injuncted, or the government was, immediately, so they weren't able to be...
Sure, but either way, she was pregnant. So, dealing with that issue.
I'll just finish this point because I think it's an important point. Ultimately, the lady decided not to have the abortion, and she's now had the baby. The same solicitor acted for that lady as he's acting for the lady that you speak of. And we'll work through, as we've always said, we'll provide whatever medical assistance is required, is reasonably provided. In the first instance, people should receive medical assistance on Nauru. If it's not available there, they can go to the international hospital where Australians are treated in PNG.
But Peter Dutton, given abortion is illegal in PNG,
it's not, Patricia, just to deal with that second element. There is a provision within the PNG law where the abortion is not illegal. Now, there's an issue around timing and the rest of it, and the lady ultimately decided that in PNG she didn't want the abortion, even though it was available to her, and legally so. Now, we're happy to work, as I say, with each of these cases to provide a reasonable support and proper medical assistance, but to suggest that there has been a rape that's been proven or an allegation or something beyond an allegation is not right. So there are very vexed issues involved in all of these matters, as you'd appreciate. People want to come to Australia, and I respect and appreciate that, but we have been very definite that they're not coming to Australia if they've arrived by boat.
But are you suggesting that's what she was trying to do, trick the government into coming to Australia?
I'm just suggesting that these are very vexed issues. There are allegations about...
But are you suggesting that's what she was trying to do?
No, I'm saying there's an allegation of a rape and reports by some people that that this is a proven outcome is just not accurately reflecting the allegation that's been made.
But S99 won her action against you in the federal court last week. The court held that there was a reasonable apprehension that you will breach your duty of care for this woman by procuring an abortion in PNG where an abortion is not safe or lawful, and that you have until the 15th of May to avoid breaching your duty of care. So what are you going to do about it?
Well, we'll work with the lady in question and provide the medical attention that is required. And it's not something I'm going to talk about publicly. With the previous case, as I said, it's...
But you will confirm that you won't be appealing the federal court decision?
We're not going to appeal the decision. And it's a very narrow judgment in relation to specific circumstances relating to this one case. That's an important point to make. And as I say, there are all sorts of issues involved in these matters, and this is a very complex case, Patricia, there's no question about that, and as with all of these cases, we'll abide by the law, we'll provide the necessary medical support, and we'll work in private, because ultimately this is a choice by the individual person, by the lady involved, and we'll provide the support that is required, both in terms of the medical needs, the mental health needs, whatever support is required, as you would expect, and as has been the case in cases previous. Only point that I would make is that, that there are sometimes other aspects to these cases which aren't immediately publicly available, and I just don't intend to talk about the very personal medical needs or requirements of individuals that can be identified. We'll provide the support that's required, and I don't have any further comment.
Do you accept? Okay, just one more question on it before we move on to one other issue. Do you accept the federal court's judgment in full? Do you accept that sending a woman to have an abortion where it's not safe or lawful, and safe was in there too, is a breach of your duty of care?
Well, Patricia, I'm just not going to get into our views about the judgment. We've accepted the judgment in relation to this particular matter. We'll provide the support, as we have in every other case. Ultimately, some people are very keen to get to Australia. I appreciate that. They've paid money to people smugglers to get here. We are not going to allow people smugglers to get back into business and for people to drown at sea. That is the last circumstance that I'm going to allow. And as I've said to you before, I think it's been a very telling couple of days because the Labor Party has walked away essentially from their policy. Now, some people would applaud that and say that that is a good thing, that they're not going to turn back boats, they're not going to operate regional processing centres. But my view is that the majority of the Australian public strongly supports the stance that's been taken by the government,
well,
and we aren't going to deviate from that course.
I must correct the record, because you say the Labor Party has walked away from that agreement. Actually, Bill Shorten hasn't done that. He's rebuked the people, the candidates, you're right, who have spoken out against the policy.
Well,
he hasn't backed
them. Again, that's not true, because there are 13 now that have spoken out against him. He's had no rebuke of Tanya Plibersek and Anthony Albanese. If you go to the interview last night that Mr. Albanese gave to Emma Alberici on Late Line, it was a train wreck of an interview, and he refused to back the position of Mr. Shorten. Now, Mr. Shorten hasn't rebuked Anthony Albanese, and Anthony Albanese is obviously keen to keep his seat from the Greens, and he didn't vote, as is the case for Ms. Plibersek and Ms. Wong. They didn't vote for Bill Shorten's position at conference, and Mr. Shorten.
No, but they have subsequently said that they accept. What? They've subsequently said that they accept that they lost the argument, and that now there is a party line which is basically very similar to your line on asylum
seekers.
Which,
strangely enough, is what they said when Mr. Rudd made the same proposal in 2007, Patricia. So I think what we need to do is look beyond the words and look to the actions. And the actions of Mr. Albanese and Ms. Plibersek at the moment, which are completely at odds with the actions of Mr. Shorten, I think, as I say, it's quite telling, but that's an issue for the Labor Party to respond
to. But what about the open contradictions of the Prime Minister from your backbench and a range of issues? We've had lots of them on national security. Tony Abbott, the former Prime Minister. We've had Erica Betts, Corey Bernardi also providing alternative ideas in the last couple of months. You can't condemn it on one side but then say that you're a broad church on the other when it happens on your side.
Well, the difference is that the Prime Minister's been able to lead on this issue, and he's been able to deal with any of the questions that that you've just put, that others have raised, and he's been able to deliver. And the difficulty is that Mr. Shorten hasn't been able to deliver. He didn't deliver when Mr. Rudd was in government. He was part of the government that presided over a situation where 1,200 people drowned at sea. Now, we can't just brush over the fact that Labor says one thing in opposition and does a very different thing in government, and particularly if they were in coalition with the Greens, they would abandon this policy. There's no question. It is a very difficult issue for the Labor Party. I accept that. But let's call it for what it is. There is great division within the Labor Party, and I don't believe that they would continue the policies that we've had of turning back boats where it's safe to do so. The policy is only about an option to turn back boats. And I can tell you now that if you get one or two or three boats through, you'll get 300 through. And there was no let off in the numbers that were coming through, 50,000 on 800 boats. The numbers had not plateaued. They were continuing to spiral up and up. And we've been able to deal with that issue successfully. We've got every child out of detention. And I think people need to realise that there is a very big difference now between the opposition and the government in the run-up to this election on what is a very important national security issue.
Peter Dutton, do you have an update on Hodan Yassin, the 21-year-old Somali woman who set herself alight on the 2nd of May? It was reported 6 days ago that her condition was critical.
There's no update to her condition. The latest update that I have is that she's still in a critical condition.
And just finally on politics, your Liberal colleague Russell Broadbent has told his local paper that the 8-week election campaign is suicidal for the government and will hurt its chance at re-election. Do you wish it could have been different? Is he right? Is it suicidal for the government?
Well, I think the election campaign started pretty well for the government because we've been able to outline a jobs and growth strategy, a plan for the economy, and I think that's what matters to people. And
okay, but is it politically suicidal to have an 8-week campaign?
Well, as I say, I mean, clearly that's not started that way, and the government will continue to talk about our record, but most importantly about our plan for the future and the fact that we are a united team, that we are able to present a coherent position on these policies. Not everybody has to agree with us, but I think people can see...
Well, Russell Broadbent doesn't agree with you.
Well, we're acting in the country's best interest, and I think we are doing the right thing here by getting kids out of detention, closing 17 detention centres when Labor opened 17. We haven't had any reported deaths at sea. So I think there is a good reason for the Australian public to vote for us on July 2, and it is a long campaign, but I think Prime Minister Turnbull will show that we have a plan for the next 3 years and beyond, and I think people will vote for that on the 2nd of July.
Minister, many thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me on. Thank you.
That's Peter Dutton. He's the Minister for Immigration and Border Protection, and very soon I'll be speaking with the National President of the ALP, the Shadow Environment Minister, Mark Butler.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.